Blog Talk Radio.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Max on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right, looking for a ray of hope.
Thank you for listening tonight. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio, and I am your host, Jackie Wayans. I'm really excited about tonight's show. It's extra special as far as I'm concerned. Veterans Day is coming up on the 11th, and it's a day that I know very well because my middle daughter has that day as her birthday. But Veterans Day is even grander than that because it is the day in this country that we honor those who really put their lives on the line in order to keep our lives safe where we are. And Sunday is Women's Day, and I actually hadn't heard of Women's Day before this month. I don't know if it's because it's new or I have been living under a rock, but it is Women's Day. And so I thought, what a wonderful find to run across Lete Davis, who is the founder of Stilettos in the City. And she is here with us today. She is a former vet. and a proud mom of two lovely daughters. I can say that because I had an opportunity to speak to one of them briefly today, and she was just a treasure. And so welcome, Lippe. I'm happy to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm so happy that you asked me to be on. It's a pleasure.
Well, I'm glad because oftentimes we don't get to hear your voices and we don't really get to understand what women in the military go through and peek behind the veil. And so I'm looking forward to you really sharing your experiences and, you know, how your life was able to move from one transition to another. So before I get into that, why don't you give us a little idea of what Stilettos in the City is all about?
Stilettos in the City is a transition and branding company I started, and my goal is to help women, especially female veterans, to transition from military life to civilian life. So it's really important for me to help my female veterans, and that's really what Stilettos in the City strives to do.
That's wonderful, and we're going to get a little bit more into depth and detail about that. I really hope there are some current military women and some vets listening, and if you're listening and you know of a military woman, please get her on the line so that she can check this out and really get into it. And we just give a special shout-out to you guys for all that you do. Sometimes there's great debate over whether women should be in the military or not be in the military. The fact is you're there. And so you're there and you're doing a lot that is something that we should just say thank you for. I have to ask, you know, what took you into military life? Was this something you always wanted to do? What led you there?
Well, I actually was in ROTC in high school. I will be honest and say it wasn't like my goal or my vision to join the military once I got out of high school, but once I kind of hit some roadblocks in the way of some of the dreams that I did have, you know, the recruiters, they recruit hard, so had a great recruiter who talked to me about the military, and I decided that I did want to go ahead and join the military and see something different.
Now, when you made this decision, did you mull it over time? Was it fairly a quick decision?
I would say that I think they kind of have been coaxing me and courting me for a while, and I was like, no, I don't know, I'm not sure. And I think that when I did make the decision, I'd say it was probably over about maybe 6 months or so. So it was kind of like they had to court me a little bit.
Did you discuss it with your parents at all? Did you talk with them about it?
No, I didn't. I may have mentioned it in the wind to my mother, but to be honest, there wasn't a sit-down conversation with her. I think I just told her I was going into the military after I decided to go active and had done basically all the paperwork. So that was my route.
Okay, and I'm just going to say this for those who are listening. Lippe is definitely calling in. You're calling in from Mississippi, correct?
I am. Yes, I am.
Wonderful. So I know you're on your cell phone. Just try to keep it as close to your mouth as you can so that we can hear you, everything you have to say. So I know that you were 19 years old when you went active. And
I was.
One of the interesting things about your story is that while you were a drill sergeant, you also was a mother, and that may not be uncommon, but you had your daughter on the field with you, so to speak. Talk to us about that. What was that like? Hello? All right. I don't know, Lippe, if you made an adjustment, but I can't hear you at the moment. I see what happened there. Okay, I'm sure she'll call back in. Unfortunately, that's what happens with cell phones. Sometimes things drop. Here she is. Hold on one moment. We're going to get her back right on the line with you. Hi, Lippe.
Hi, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So we were just asking, you know, you were a drill sergeant, but you had your daughter with you. You didn't actually leave her at home or leave her behind. Talk to us about what that was like.
It was, you know, I was kind of in the minority because most of my peers did not have their children with them. And to be honest with you, I tell you, my daughter was a true soldier because we got up in the morning, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, and my day sometimes wouldn't end until 10 o'clock that night, as far as just the financial constraints and the lack of family time that I had with them. It was really mentally, emotionally, and financially tough. It was.
Well, now, did you go into the military with your daughter? How's the timing of this work?
I actually joined the military. I didn't have any children when I joined. And about 2 years into my military career, I had my daughter. And, you know, when you get assigned, you become, when they assign you to drill sergeant duty, that is something that either you decide to do or you are DA selected to do, which means you don't have an option. And so I was DA selected to, you know, go on drill sergeant duty.
Okay. And so I can't even imagine what that's like. I mean, I can imagine a little bit because I've been a single mom of 3. And I know what it is to get them up early and you have the strollers and the bag and all that stuff. Now, did you also have to rely on child care?
You know, when I think back to that time, Jackie, it really, for me, it really does get emotional because I did have to get child care. And, you know, to be honest with you, my hours, like, we didn't have Saturdays and Sundays off. We didn't get holidays off. So it was like the daycare provider was actually on the trail is what we called it as well because they were keeping my children for me during the times that I had to work. And, you know, my daughter is 17 now, and I just think about the level of responsibility that she had really to, you know, have someone else take care of her. For possibly 10 to 14 hours out of a day. So, you know, daycare, $900 to $1,000 a month, you know, that's a prize to spend.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So now, and just so for those who are listening so that there's clarity, about 2 years into your military career, you actually decided to get married. And that marriage didn't last more than a year, but in that time you were able to conceive your daughter, right?
Correct, correct.
Okay. All right. Now, I want you to kind of draw this out for us, and if you could kind of give me a typical day or maybe highlight a story or a situation during that time of you being a drill sergeant and being a single mother.
Well, you know, a typical day for me would have been getting up at about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to get the girl, you know, get my daughter up, and, you know, they're sleepy and, of course, you know, still tired, and drop them off at daycare, usually no later than about 4:45 in the morning. You know, we did PT. You know, we had to go wake the soldiers up and do PT and then come home and change and then go back and, you know, get the soldiers ready for breakfast and then to class. And, you know, even in that time period that they were in class, we were, you know, doing inspections, preparing for special ceremonies. So that whole entire day was filled with military stuff. They would get out of class about 3:30, 4 o'clock. We'd take them to eat. And during none of that time have I seen my kids. You know, I haven't seen my daughter at all, you know, so I'm still working. And, you know, once we got them to chow and brought them back, you know, you would hope that no one got in trouble, no one was missing out of formations, nobody, you know, was just missing altogether. There wasn't any kind of disciplinary action because then that would push your day to 7:30. And if I had duty, then I didn't get off until that next morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning. It just was tough.
That's tough. That's a lot. And so I have to ask, did you have a relationship with the Lord already at that time?
To be honest, I didn't. I knew that he was actually the lead of everything in my life, but as far as me being in connection with him and having an intimate relationship with him, no, I didn't at that time.
So when did that come about?
I honestly would say that my first realization of just God and how he covers us is just really at a point where just recently, you know, when I look back on my life and I look at the choices I've made, you know, some of them from an emotional standpoint, some of them from a common sense standpoint. And I was in a relationship that was not the best relationship.
Right.
And I thought about how it was being demonstrated to my daughters about, you know, what they should accept, what they should expect. And I realized, how can I teach them something differently than what I'm doing? Like,
well, you know, we're
going
to come back to that because I think that's really powerful. But I guess what I'm asking right now is, you know, I want to know, you know, the path that God used to draw you to himself. You know, what did that look like? Where, you know, where were you in space and time? You know, how did you make your way to him?
Absolutely. You know, I think the first thing was in Germany. When I was had an accident in Germany, and you know, I did a 360 degree turn and hit the guardrail. And when I looked down, and I realized that it was only God that saved me. And at that time, my unborn daughter, you know, it was only God that saved us in that accident. I mean, it nothing else. And really, throughout my travel on the road, and you know, just the way he kept me and protected me, and even in just my life period, just some of the times and the decisions that I made, you know, when I really could have been dead or, you know, could have been in some dire troubles, you know, he always seemed to come and answer. And even when I worked as a civilian, and, you know, I was thinking about a situation, and then I just looked up to the ceiling, and I couldn't do anything but chuckle because I realized that God was giving me a lesson, you know. And the more that he worked in my life, even when I was stationed at Fort Gordon, Georgia, and the church I went to, and just the spirit
and
how
he... Don't look ahead. Don't give us everything all at once. Now let me breathe it in, okay? So I want to play this song, and then we're going to come back to that Germany moment because you said some interesting things there, and I want to just capitalize on that. But it definitely seems that God was with you and was covering you and protecting you even at a time when you hadn't really known him personally yet.
They encamp all around me, so I have no fear. They tell me he left me, whisper in my room above, before
angels watching over me. I've got angels watching over me. You know, you are listening to Don't Give Up Radio, and today we are talking with Latae Davis, and she is a former veteran, and sharing with us the very hard days of her being a young single mother in the military. And maybe some of you are listening and can relate to this. And there was a time in her life that she actually didn't have a relationship with the Lord yet. But you know what's amazing about God is that when he has his eye on you, he covers you and he protects you and keeps you until the day that your eyes open and you see him for who he really is. And often in the show, I share with you that whatever we talk about is something that you can participate in and you can experience for yourself. It is as simple as Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And you know, upon doing that, an angel is appointed to you as your guardian to keep you wherever you go. So before we went into that song, we were mentioning that Latae was actually located in Germany, and she was about a few months pregnant while on the Autobahn Speedway. I don't know if any of you have heard of the Autobahn, but it is, I mean, when we talk about speed, we're talking about everything that these cars can do full out. And in that moment, she had a 360 turn. Her car slammed into a rail, and there she was against the rail, and she could look over and see what a horrendous drop could have been her fate, where her and her daughter's life would have been lost in that moment as she was with child. And yet at the same time, Latae, you say you didn't even really grasp the impact of what you were scared from at that moment. And what struck me as we talked one-on-one was that she said that, you know, you at that time were the type of person that had to keep your composure. You had to always make it seem as if you were okay. Talk to us about you being that type of person in terms of wearing this mask and how it kept you from seeing God moving in your life.
Yeah, I almost feel like, you know, as a female in the military, you almost create an alter ego. And I'll just say that for myself. I created an alter ego. So I was always expected to be squared away, always have the answers, you know, always look the part. Never break down. Don't let people see you get emotional, especially in your male counterparts. You know, I was expected to be just as tough as the male soldiers. And in that, there was this alter ego created that even when that happens, even when I could look over that rail and I knew that there was no way we would have survived that if it hadn't been for God, I still cranked the car up and drove on up the hill and brushed it off.
Wow. Yeah, and I wonder how many of us do that, whether it's something as traumatic as that situation or even in our regular daily lives as women, carrying that superwoman load and not letting on that we're, you know, crumbling and confused inside.
Yeah.
Now, earlier you were sharing that, you know, a period of time when you were stationed in Georgia. This time, you know, it's maybe 10 years later, you're stationed in Georgia. You actually have two daughters now. And what was going on with you? What was your emotional place?
Well, you have to excuse me if I start crying, but at that point, I, you know, was a single mother, two young girls, just in a place where I was still trying to be that tough person. You know, I'm trying to be a mom, I'm trying to be a soldier, but I'm also still searching for love, and it's painful to have to look at yourself and figure out what it is that's going on with you. you know, that for whatever reason it is, you can't seem to get a mate. And, you know, the military, I really feel, personifies that, because you'll see couples, you'll see them with the nice materialistic things. And so I was constantly comparing myself to those people. You know, I wanted what they had. You know, and I was kind of like the opposite of that. And it was really, really difficult. It really was.
You know, when you talk about wanting to attain something, and this, you know, I don't want to simplify this. This is not an issue of keeping up with the Joneses. It is innate in us, men and women, to be in relationship. God created us that way. And so there is something, whether you see yourself as being strong or not, that when you observe the world around you, and you see, you know, the butterfly moments and, you know, the sunshine moments that other people are enjoying, that you can ask yourself that question, you know, what's wrong with me? Now, as you evaluated yourself, what were the things that you saw you needed to work on?
You know, to be honest with you, Jackie, I really think I just pretty much said it was everybody else. Until I really decided to look at myself honestly, and that took a while, I still just said it was everybody else. They were haters. They just didn't know me well enough. They had the wrong perception. To be honest with you, even at that point, I still looked at it like, I want that, I see that, and why can't I have it? But I still was wearing this, I was still operating in this alter ego of, I'm still perfect, I'm dressed right, I look the part, I'm acting the part, so it's got to be everybody else.
So what was the reality, though? What was the reality of who you were at that time? What, you know, we all have contrast between the person on the inside and the person people see, you know?
Yeah, the reality was that I wanted a family. I wanted, you know, a husband, and I wanted to be the wife, but I still had issues within myself. I couldn't trust. I refused to let someone in. I always thought there was something else to it, you know, when somebody would try to conversate with me. I'm like, okay, but what do you really want? Low self-esteem and really not being able to communicate effectively and just trust people. And I burned a lot of bridges. Honestly, I did. I burned a lot of relationships from always just being so defensive that I couldn't even appreciate people and things that were right in front of me.
Right. You know, I think back to an old message that I heard, decades ago at this point, called Not Another Day in the Cave by Bishop T.D. Jakes, Not Another Day in the Cave. And one of the things that he talked about that was based on Lot and his two daughters. And one of the things that was mentioned there is that you get so comfortable living in the cave that you don't realize nobody else wants to be dragged into that mess, right?
Amen.
They don't want to live in the cave with you. You know, so you really have to do the work that has to be done in order to achieve those longings in your hearts. You have to look inside first. So what changed for you? You know, you started to talk about Faith Outreach Christian Life Church. Tell me about what started to change in your life.
Just that spiritual foundation, that was really for me the beginning of getting it. And just the word, it was a true word. It made me, it started this understanding in me that God is the ultimate judge. He is the one who looks at me and says, well done, or, oh, that's not good enough. And so I wanted to start becoming that person that when people saw me, they saw light. They didn't see the darkness of, as you mentioned, a cave.
because nobody wants to be around that. So I really wanted to become, if even as a mother, I wanted to become better. Even as a daughter, I didn't want to carry on the generational curses of not being able to communicate, not being emotional. So that was the beginning of something that just had me to start walking towards the light, you know. So it was just amazing.
And you know, that is the first place we have to come to, that place where we really enter into relationship with the Lord so that he can start to communicate those things to us. But he also uses people. And you were sharing with me that you were having, lunch one day with a minister friend, and she asked you a question that probably took a lot of courage for her to ask you. But tell us about what she asked you and what was revealed to you from that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I went to school with her. She's known me all my life. So we were just discussing, and I mentioned my relationship. And she said, yeah, what's going on with that? And I got quiet. And she said, well, at first she started to say, I will tell you what you need. But then she said, what has God told you about that relationship? And it was in that moment where I had to take ownership for what I asked God for, but I always want to do my way because God had made it very clear to me that that relationship was not going to prosper, that it was not going to uplift me, that we were not meant to be together. And I also realized as we talked and she ministered to me that I am an example for my daughter. I have got to be a good, positive example for my daughter. And it was at that moment, it was on a Friday, where I said, I'm done with it. I'm done. Mm. And that was the end.
Thank you, Lord. You know, we all come to crossroads. We all come to crossroads. We have to come to crossroads. And for you, it was a relationship. For some people, it might be a job or it might be a behavioral pattern. But we come to a crossroads, and in that moment of time, we have to choose God. And you know, you were in a relationship that just wasn't beneficial at all. And you were in a place that you couldn't even worship because, you know, the Holy Spirit knows, you know, when we're outside of that. But thankfully, you are now at the place where you can worship and you can say, despite what you've been through, take me to the King.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to
truth is I'm tired, options are few, I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused, I can't say what's left. Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
Yes, amen. Give him the praise. That's what it's about.
Hallelujah.
You know, for those of you who are in the military, who are listening, you've been waiting for this part of the show. This is where we get into stilettos in the city. This is where we get into from combat boots to stilettos, okay? Now, you served in the military for 13 years, and part of what stilettos does is help women through the transition of coming home and going from military life into civilian life. Talk to me about what it was like for you when you came home.
When I got out of the military, I was used to structure, rigidity, firm outlines, and policies and procedures, and it was very shocking to me because it wasn't that way. It's not that way in the civilian world. And also, I realized that, you know, if we don't, as veterans, especially female veterans, understand the skills and traits and attributes that we brought out of the military, we can leave a lot of skills on the table, and then we end up feeling like we can't find a job. It was difficult for me to find a job because I was either overqualified or they just didn't get it. So, you know, it was very frustrating for me at times.
So now, despite your credentials, despite your years of service and all that you had done, it was difficult for you to even get a job or an interview at a hospital in your own township where you came back home. So that is extremely frustrating. And so now what led you to do things differently and become an entrepreneur?
I actually realized that at one of my jobs, you know, it was just that I was helping someone else earn their own money, their money. And I realized from everything that I, all of the knowledge and everything I gained in the military, that I was more than capable of earning my own money. And so it was just really, it's just an innate trait in me to be an entrepreneur, to take the chance. So I just took it, I just decided to take the chance and go out on faith and just be the boss, my own boss.
Wonderful. Yeah, wonderful, because, you know, when you're going through that type of stress, you know, it wears and tears down on you. And I know you shared with me that, you know, it took one night of you having such a horrendous headache and just, you know, how we popped the little acceptance bottle. And, you know, you just prayed a simple prayer and you said, Lord, you know, whatever you tell me to do in the morning, I'm going to do. And he told you to walk away. And now while people might look at you and say, hey, that's nuts, how are you going to give up this wonderful military career? But it was time because he was calling you into something greater. I want you know, you're saying to me that basically what led you to create stilettos in the city is that when you came back home, not only what you experienced, right, but you knew you had the abilities to start this, and then you saw what was happening in the economy. You also saw an increase of homeless female veterans, right?
Absolutely, yes. And I'm looking at the statistics, and I'm saying, wait a minute, what's going on? Because we, as military veterans, we are responsible for things that civilians would never imagine. So there's a gap. There's something missing in the translation of our skills when we apply for jobs, our preparedness to come out into a different economy. So it's not that those female veterans can't be have homes. There's just a gap there. And I just feel like it's our responsibility, my responsibility, to help close that gap.
And, you know, now that you know for sure that this is God's assignment that he has given to you, and, you know, you were very unhappy before, and now you have that joy of the Lord in you, and you can allow that sunshine to be a part of other people's lives. When we come back from this song, she's going to tell you exactly how you can find out more.
You bring the sun out. You make my life grow.
Again.
You bring the sun out.
Lord, I wanna thank you, 'cause
you bring the sun out. You make my life
grow.
You bring the sun out.
You were there when I had nothing. You've been with me from beginning to end.
You bring the sun out.
No clouds in the sky, that's the reason why.
I know now.
Question number one.
What can I do?
Question number two.
What can I say?
Try to let you know.
I appreciate all of the ways you give me through.
Never would have thought
I would be here.
A heart with no scars,
a face with no fear.
How can I thank you?
How can I show you? Wish I could get the whole world to know you.
If they only knew.
You are the one that gives me the air to breathe.
And see, I can't deny.
You're the reason why my life has a melody. Yeah.
And even when I stray,
still feel your grace pulling me close to you.
So no matter where you are, just know I'm not far.
Without you,
I was hurting, but I'm happy again.
You bring the sun.
Lord, I wanna thank you, 'cause
you bring the sun. You make my life
grow.
You bring the sun.
You were there when I had nothing. You've been with me from beginning to end.
You bring the sun.
No clouds in the sky, that's the reason why.
I know.
Question number three.
Where would I be?
And Lord, not only that, but
how could you see
the days and my nights, the pains of my life, but now it's alright.
'Cause you were there.
You gave me a chance when
I had no chance.
And when I needed help,
you gave me your hand.
So now they need to see just what you mean to me. And if you ever left me,
where would I be? You are the one that gives me the air to breathe.
Hallelujah. And see, I can't deny.
You're the reason why my life has a melody.
And even if I stray,
still feel your grace pulling me close to you.
So no matter where you are, just know I'm not a star.
I'm so worried.
yeah, we took it back to Kurt Franklin's hero. That's right. You bring the sun out. And you know, but we can do that in other people's lives. We can bring the sun out, so to speak.
That's right.
And that as a double entendre, because the Lord is the Son of God, and we associate the sun in the sky with happiness and joy. Listen, how did you get started running your business? You know, did you just, you know, go take out a loan and open up an office somewhere? What did you do?
No, I actually, my business is home-based, and I believe that every entrepreneur should start out on a bootstring budget. Don't go out getting stuff. Start small and minimal. And I've been blessed, you know. I've been blessed to be able to do what I'm doing, and I know that God will guide me and inform me of when I need to do bigger things and get a space, but I'm just working through it right now and just doing it day by day, you know, Him guiding me. So we're good. Stilettos in the City is good.
Now, one of the things you did was start off with a lot of research, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm basically last year, that's all I did. I rewrote business plans and did demographic research, researched those female veterans, et cetera. And that's so important, you know. And then I started to kind of add more stuff to it. I really wanted to be knowledgeable in what I wanted to do before I started doing it.
And as you mentioned before, you know, you really help these women. You bring awareness to the realities of changing from military to civilian life. You help them with resumes. You, you know, really help build a full picture, even something like having children and thinking about school when you relocate.
Absolutely.
You know, budgeting, all these things, that's what you, you know, bring to the table. And I think that's awesome. And you'll work with people as much as 6 months before they leave, correct?
Absolutely. It's whenever they are ready. And, you know, one of the other parts of it too, Jackie, is that there's always this other stuff. Life happens. And we've got to navigate through life so that we still can get you in a successful position. So we're there. I mean, I'm there, and my bio sisters are there to help them get through life and handle their money, their relocation, their children. Everything. We're there. So
now
we
bio is a support section to Stilettos that's with women from your church, correct?
Absolutely. I've gotten women from my church as well as women in my local community, people I went to school with, women I went to school with. And so we have a group on Facebook, and it's basically there to help them financially, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And so I provide them with information, and I have guests come on, and we have conference calls to give them information on things that mostly concern them. And I'm just there to give them the information and grow along with them, no cost. I mean, this is what God divinely assigned me to do, and I am just excited. I love it.
Did you
I
hear
love
that,
it.
Guys? She said no cost, okay? So this is something you should be jumping at. Now, you said have guests come on. You also have a radio show on Blog Talk. What's the title of the show, and when does it air? Where can people find you?
I am, my show is Stilettos in the City, and we do our shows every Tuesday at 7 p.m., and then I do kind of adjust it for, of course, my guests if we need to adjust it, but normally 7 p.m. every Tuesday.
So Stilettos in the City, you can always get the archives and listen to it at a time that's convenient for you and, you know, share it with others. How can our listeners reach you? How can they get in contact with you?
Thank you. Well, I'm on Facebook, Stilettos in the City, and I am on YouTube at Latae Davis. I have my website that is ldavissic.com, and I'm actually doing some changes to it. And also I'm on Google Plus at Latae Davis, so if you want to, you know, join my circle or let me join your circle, we can hook up on Google Plus as well.
Wow, well, you're just kind of everywhere. That's wonderful. And, you know, take advantage, women, because a lot of times we don't take advantage of things. We are either trying to get ready to be ready, or we just are getting to it and we don't get to it. So Don't waste the time. Get on Facebook right now. Reach out. Have the conversation. Even if you don't think you need it, you might know someone else who does need it. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been
a pleasure. Thank you. Can I leave an encouraging word for my female veterans? Just one.
Of course. Of course. Please do.
I want to just say to every one of my battle buddies, whether you're currently serving or you're out of the military, the bottom line is that the only person that you should be looking to satisfy is God. And everybody else, yes, you want to please them, but at the end of the day, God is the one who will lead you to greater success, greater happiness. I'm telling you, if you just hand over your life and you just submit to God, He is going to bring you into a brighter day. Enjoy every single day, no matter what's going on. Find joy in your day.
I love it. That's a wonderful closing word. You've been listening to Don't Give Up Radio. We'll be back next week with another guest doing wonderful things. We're going to do some spoken word for you next week, and we're going to talk about real issues as usual. And I will say to you listening, be your best hero. That's right. You be your own hero, and don't let yourself down. What you are intended to do with your life is for God's glory.
Amen.